Welcome to Vision Destiny 2022. This is session 8. I'm going to review some of the things that were key in 2021, sharing my journals, things God said, things God did, what we did together, engagements in some of the government groups as well. Some of the key themes: the realm of light, engaging the unconditional love, limitless grace, triumphant mercy, exposing the great deception of the DIY tree path, time, engaging time as a being, union and cosmic dimensions. All of these things were themes during the year. So, you know, when I review them, you know, I sort of see the themes coming about. You know, at the time, these are just experiences and encounters, and then I can begin to fathom where they all come together and connect. 1st of March, Sun, the glory days are coming in the midst of the deep darkness of deception that covers the minds of those enslaved to the false knowledge systems. The revealing of the sons who walk in and as the light will illuminate the darkness with the light of love and truth. The vital key is the maturing of enough sons to raise the consciousness levels of sonship to be in a union of hearts and minds. All division and divisiveness is the fruit of independent knowledge that raises people above each other and creates elites who seek to control, suppress and rule over the masses. And most people would have no idea for this. It's just culture, it's just society, it's just where people live. But the reality is things function this way in a deceptive way. Family was never meant to have divisions or be hierarchical, patriarchal, matriarchal, but to function by relational honor where all generations respect each other. And this is really, really important. For three generations to work together and become the governmental foundation is vital. It never happened. After Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and then the next generations, it always stopped at two or one. You had Moses and Joshua, that could have led to the next generation, but then stopped, and then Joshua and the next generation, but then the next generation failed to come into union. And then since then, every generation really has fought for its own identity separate. And that is not how God intends it to be. And for family, although of course there are mothers and fathers and grandfathers, but actually we all need to respect and honor each other within it. The restoration of family honor and respect will bring blessing to the earth again, and creation itself will respond to the oneness that family reveals. That is why family is under such attack. That's why family is under such pressure, because it's a representation of what God is like, Father, Son and Spirit, and relationship. All divisions, including those of nations, nationalism, gender, ethnicity, color, race, religion, background, social standing, or any other arbitrary category, is the result of following the path of independence. And that pathway of independence has created a desire for independent identity and therefore separation from others. Union and oneness respects and honors uniqueness within family, and all members are treated equally, as equality is a strong value within family. So important that we see the restoration of family values will enable the sons of God to arise to illuminate those values by leaving systems that are denominated to separate based on theology, doctrine, or creed. And the whole area of tribalism rather than family is based on belief or some aspect of union while excluding others. So you could denominate on beliefs, you could denominate on theology or doctrine or creeds, things that you've agreed, we believe in this and no one else who believes it can be part of that, or you can denominate or you can separate on other things, color or social standing or ethnicity or where you've been born or whatever it might be. It creates a false sense of separation when we're all one in God's heart and God's desires. God desires us to be one. We are one. And his desire is that we would function in that union and oneness and therefore realize that any of these false separations need to be overcome with love and in union and in blessing. Son, following the creeds is placing man-made concepts above the truth, as the creeds were produced and motivated by the need for doctrinal purity and the fear of losing control. Those who produced the creeds did not trust us to teach our children. Now, a lot of the more traditional religious groups have creeds, or go back to the very earliest creeds, the Apostles' Creeds or the Nicene Creed. And going back and looking at why those things were produced, when things started to spread and control couldn't be maintained centrally, there was a fear that people would be going astray. And therefore, they needed to say, this is what we believe, and therefore everyone needs to agree to this set of beliefs, which was produced as a creed. That actually has been so restrictive that people now, looking back to those creeds, trying to fit in with what those creeds, thinking that they are on the par with the Bible or on the par with God's word, God speaking. And I do not believe, and this is what the Father was saying, these were man-made concepts. God did not instigate creeds. Creeds actually separated rather than united. The creeds have placed tradition over truth and have been used to support orthodoxy and perpetuate lies that create division. The creeds are used to produce the same result as at Babel, to make a name for themselves based on a fear of uniqueness. When it's like, there's a sense where family is not afraid of the individual members of the family, but celebrates them. When you begin to try and produce a conformity to a set of beliefs, you're trying to make clones who only believe what you say they can believe. And that's what the creeds were designed to do. Oneness and union comes from relationship and intimacy, not the dogma of forced agreement or consensus that the creeds represent. Now, why am I talking about them? Well, because God talked to me about them. That's really the issue. Because I was looking at, well, what keeps people into this knowledge and false knowledge that keeps them separated and divided? When God was talking about union, we have to look at, well, what is dividing us? And there are things within the religious systems that are dividing us, mostly to do with what we believe. When true union manifests, there is no need for creeds, as there is relationship based on honor and trust with cardiogenosis between God and each other. All systems have their creedal, religions have their creedal systems to force unity based on the agreements of beliefs to control and stop progressive knowledge. Progressive knowledge produces panic in religious systems and the fear of losing control. Because as soon as someone comes up with truth, which is beyond what is presently true, then those who are the guardians of that present truth often challenge and seek to put down that new revelation. I can remember being within a group of leaders, and we were just talking about various things and what God was doing, and I was talking about the progressive revelation that I was receiving, and literally you could feel the tension in the room immediately, because most of them were evangelicals, and the tension that was produced by me just using the word of progressive revelation. And then they had all these sort of, no, the sola scriptura and revelation is, and the Bible is the only revelation, and all this stuff came out, and I only used the phrase progressive, you know, tied to revelation, and it caused that sort of manifestation. Progressive revelation is the hallmark of family, where seeking the truth in relationship is valued and honored as it unveils deeper truth and brings enlightenment. Enlightenment is feared by all religious systems that are creedal, traditional or hierarchical in structure, as it threatens the status quo of control. Progressive revelation is the hallmark of family. That is God's heart. He wants to bring us to that reality. The greatest creed was the production of the Bible as a closed canon that stopped progressive revelation that was intended for every generation. I believe every generation should be producing their own scriptures that have been progressively revealed to them as God spoke to them, that generation then passes to the next generation, and the next generation produce their own, and they bring them all together so we become one and we all learn from the wisdom that we've received, but we don't hold it to the fact that there won't be further wisdom and understanding and knowledge. We're open to new things, not believing that we know it all. And as soon as they created a closed canon of the Bible, they basically said God has stopped speaking. Now he's going to speak through the Pope, or he's going to speak through the Bible. And actually, God never stopped speaking. And in every generation, people have heard that. Now, often those people are called mystics, because they rise above the control systems, because they go into a union that begins to unveil progressive revelation. And they are a threat, of course, to many. Family enables generations to honor each other whilst encouraging progression, because there is no need to fear losing position. You're always family, but the functions within family change as each matures from child to parent to grandparent to great-grandparent, and the truth is passed on and progressive revelation can be encouraged. Children can benefit from the knowledge and wisdom of their parents, but the hallmark of wise parents is that they will benefit from the progressive knowledge of their children and eventually grandchildren. Within the family of mankind, as we intended, there would have only been fruitfulness, increase, and expansion to fill the earth and go beyond. All systems inspired by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil produce is division and devalues family by using control, not relationship, because it's based in fear. All religions are actually like cults in that they promise identity in family but only control their members into conformity to creeds that restrict and fear progressive revelation. Son, we are family. In perichoresis of true union, we invite all our children to experience the love, joy, and peace of rest. And that is within that relationship. We are, I am, that I am. And we reveal ourselves progressively through relationship so all our children can be fully enlightened to know who they are in union with us. That's God's desire. Family is based on unconditional love and is by definition inclusive. But any theology that excludes is a deception. All of creation is family and was designed to function together in union and harmony. We unconditionally love all things that we have created, and we have made the provision for total restoration built into the fabric of creation itself. All creation is universally, quantumly connected and already in union without knowing it. The harder those who seek to divide and separate it try, the greater the force will be that draws it back. There will be an equal and opposite reaction, but it won't be equal. There'll be a greater reaction of love, because love is more powerful than division. The potential energy for restored union is stored within creation itself at a quantum level, and the relational entanglement that connects all things will eventually reunite all things. Enlightenment and expanded consciousness is awakening creation to the reality of entanglement, as the living grace light of love exists within all things within us. We are the family of inclusivity, limitless in unconditional love and grace, and all will be restored. Union was established before creation and is within the fabric of all things at a quantum level. So where does the word creed come from? What's its purpose? The word creed comes from the Latin word credo, which means I believe, and is the mantra of the I will agenda. And it's about conformity to what someone says is the truth, what they believe, or what a group say we believe, but they're still doing it independently of the actual truth. Creeds are meant to define the boundaries within a group of people which in a group people operates. So it creates a boundary to supposedly keep people safe, but in reality it is a prison. Creeds are by definition restrictive and hinder progressive revelation and true family, which is not based on I believe but I am. And God wants us to know who we are, not based on what we believe, but based on who he made us to be, and that is part of his family. 2nd of March. Son, there is need for greater shifting of mindsets, belief systems, and values to awaken our children from the deception of darkness that they are slumbering in. A greater shift to awaken our children to love consciousness is coming once this present shaking has fully been completed, as there are more shakings to come until all are awakened to the futility and slavery of the I will agenda. The global control systems that are the front for the Luciferian agenda to keep the world in a state of delusional independence, so it will accept the God of I will be exposed to the light of truth and love. And there's an irony in it. In a sense, the deception is to bring people to come together in one group, but that group will be a controlled, conformed group, under a less than loving God, in quotes, because it's not God, obviously. And that's the Luciferian agenda. It keeps people tied to a system of works to earn performance of being included. There is nothing unconditional about that system. The light of truth and love is beginning to shine with greater brightness, and its frequency is starting to shake the stability of those deceptive systems and our children's trust and dependence in and on them. The truth is being revealed, and those with their eyes open will be able to discern what is happening and what is about to occur, so keep looking. And I encourage you, keep looking. Keep looking to see what the Father's doing, just as Jesus knew what the Father was doing every day. Let's make sure we're in cooperation, agreement, and collaboration with what the Father's doing, and let's not do things independently of Him. There is so much more to see and discern if you see from the realm of light perspective in the union with our heart. That's why God is inviting us to come face to face, because that is where the true perspective can be seen. So I shifted my focus to being in that joyful union of heart, mind, and purpose, and rested in love's embrace, cocooned in light, basking in the radiance of glory. It was just a wonderful state. Slowly, a deeper sense of desire came over me, and a precept of God began to awaken my consciousness. Now, I've engaged precepts over my Christian life, I guess, of my relationship with God, which have revealed something deeper about Him. And here was another one. And it began to wake my consciousness to a truth of the nature of mercy, which is embedded in the matrix of light that holds all creation together. Now, often we can engage things as concepts. So I understand the concept of mercy, you know, and you would say from a religious perspective, mercy is getting what you don't deserve, and grace is not getting what you do deserve. That's a sort of religious platitude which is used. But what is real mercy? What is mercy? And how does mercy hold everything together? Which is what the Father was trying to show me. God is love, and mercy is the inevitable conclusion of a God who is loving kindness. How could God, who is love, not be merciful? He can't, because He is. There can be no other conclusion to love. Therefore, mercy must always be the result, and there can be no end to mercy, because God is always unconditional love. Love will never fail. Mercy will never fail. Love will never end. Mercy will never end. Love is unconditional. Mercy is unconditional. The thoughts of mercy filled my mind, and I became aware that the world's systems are fixated on a type of twisted judgment and justice that is devoid of grace and mercy. Yet as God is love and light, and love is unconditional, and grace is limitless, then mercy is also limitless and is the inevitable product of love and grace. You can't separate them. One inevitably brings the other. Mercy is triumphant over all obstacles and hindrances to love and grace. And that was the first time that the Father really spoke to me about triumphant mercy. And that really started to begin to expand my perception of mercy and my experience of mercy. Even heaven's seasons always end with mercy. Judgment, justice, grace, mercy, rest. Mercy ushers in rest. And therefore, judgment and justice are just as much a product of unconditional love and cannot exist independently from grace and mercy. And that is what man's solution and man's understanding of judgment and justice has done. It separated it from grace and mercy, and therefore man's version is not based in love. Son, you've been reading our thoughts, and your conclusion is correct. Mercy is a precept that must align all the statutes of thinking and all the laws of being. Precepts, statutes, laws, and then ordinances. And as soon as you know the heart and you know the mind, and then you begin to speak and operate, then things begin to open and things are moved and things change and transformation takes place. The deception of independence has isolated grace and mercy from judgment and justice and twisted mankind's understanding of our nature. Man has made a wrathful God, little g, of vengeance to outwork their need to appease and sacrifice by works. It's because it's all about I will be good enough for God. I will do this and God will look favor upon me. I will make this sacrifice and there will be good crops this year. All based in a completely wrong system and wrong understanding of God and devoid of mercy. With no grace and mercy, judgment and justice become the tools of an angry, vengeful God who punishes and torments his children. That actually is not God at all. That is not who we are as love. It's kind, and we are overflowing with loving kindness. That deception must be exposed to the light of truth that will unveil mercy as unending and is always the precursor to new beginnings and fresh starts. See, judgment and justice is an end. Mercy is always new beginnings. I will is the mantra of religious dead works that needs laws to obey by their own efforts. That is why religion and law go together so strongly, because it's about I will keep these laws, I will maintain, I will do, not he's already done. And that's the hallmark. God has already done it. Seasons of judgment and justice are only precursors that enable grace and mercy to restore all things. When the truth of the present unperfected state is revealed by judgment, desire for and pursuit of new beginnings can follow. It's like you'll never want change if you don't realize where you are is not what God intends. If you accept this is what God intends, then you won't want to change it. So a judgment is a verdict based on evidence, and if we're believing that this is what we're intended to have, then we won't look for anything else. And that is the deception. Without a judgment that reveals what is not aligned to the truth and justice, to ensure that judgment is acted upon, there would be no grace and mercy. Judgment challenges the status quo of ignorance with enlightenment. Judgment is not punishment of the present reality, but is a verdict that reveals the truth of the present reality with a hope for a different future reality. Religion uses judgment to produce fear, guilt, shame, and condemnation that requires dead works to appease them, to make yourself feel better, to make yourself feel that you've earned forgiveness. Before creation began, the grace and mercy of love was embedded within the fabric of creation to ensure restoration, but there would have been no need for judgment if there was no independence. The twisted knowledge of the false tree path of independence needs judgment to life, to reveal the truth of its deception. God does not judge people to death. He judged the system as being flawed. That's the verdict. The system is flawed. Judgment is the verdict on the efficacy of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Jesus described it as withering from the roots up, and he cursed it. He declared it of no value. Judgment is the consequence of independence and is only needed to define what is not good, so our children can turn to follow the light of the tree of life. Lost identity and the twisted knowledge of I will has perverted judgment with fear. When there was only light in the timeless existence, there was nothing to judge, as all was good. Only with the independence that separated to form an absence of light and the deception was a verdict necessary. When mankind chose independence, a judgment of that choice was necessary so that they could turn away from that source and find the grace and mercy of loving kindness awaiting them. The cross, where Jesus willingly offered himself, is the central point in mankind's history as it restored grace and mercy to complement and balance mankind's twisted need for judgment and justice. The glorious light that was revealed was then obscured as the purpose of the cross to overcome darkness with light so that our mercy would triumph over mankind's judgment was itself twisted by the religious spirit. An act of pure loving mercy became twisted into the need for wrath and a penal punishment to appease an angry God, little g. Because he's not angry and he does not need appeasing, and he didn't kill and punish Jesus, we did. And Jesus submitted himself to our need for mercy to overcome that need, for judgment to overcome that need, and he did it. The light of truth must shine to reveal that mercy is a true reflection of our loving nature, and an angry, wrathful, and vengeful God is a myth and a lie. Son, live loved, love living, and live loving, overflowing with mercy, demonstrating that mercy with unconditional forgiveness. And that is so difficult for people who are in religious systems to embrace. Forgiveness is unconditional. It's not based on being sorry or asking for it. It's given because that is mercy. Jesus gave the forgiveness and asked the Father to give forgiveness even while he was hanging on the cross, when no one was asking for forgiveness. Our mercy is as triumphant as our grace is limitless, and our love is unconditional and overwhelming. 3rd of March. Son, the source of all deception is the deceiver who broke union and relationship to instigate independence. Those who followed him into independence were deceived by the lie of I will be like God, but all were tricked into worshipping the liar. Mankind was deceived by the same lie and became slaves to dead works. Eternity was placed in the hearts of our children by design so that they would always seek God, but they are deceived to do dead works to try to return home. So although the desire is there to engage with God, the desire was there with Adam and Eve's children, Cain and Abel. They gave an offering, but they gave it out of their own understanding, believing God required some sort of sacrifice. Actually, that was never true. That came out of independent knowledge that they had to appease God in some way by offering something to him. All he wanted was their relationship. That's the only offering he really requires, us. He doesn't require what we do to try and make us worthy that we already are in his sight. The path of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was the independent way to seek to restore identity and find home. But we do it our own way and we'll never find home that way. This performance-oriented lifestyle creates a rat race of people living on a hamster wheel, getting nowhere fast. Mixture of analogies there, I guess, but God's entitled to mix whatever analogies and metaphors he likes. There lies the heart of the deception, as no works of independence can ever achieve restoration of identity or relationship, because that is by grace alone, and is the free birthright of all our children. The source of this deception, Lucifer, or whatever other names he masquerades behind, has an agenda that he would be worshipped as God. But for most, that is only through a mediator. Because I don't think anyone would worship Lucifer as God if they saw him as he was. So they see him through a mediator that presents a system that thinks that they're worshipping God when they're actually just worshipping works. Have I will. The Luciferian agenda that drives making a name for themselves in whatever religious or political guise that takes is a trap, because works, laws and protocols enslave to systems and do not create relationship. There is usually a puppet, counterfeit political or spiritual figure that fronts the systems, who is deceived into thinking that they're God, little g, or mediate and speak for God. Son, all religion is deception, and all political or humanistic ideologies are deceptions that promise identity and union, but that is only possible through restored relationship with us as creator. The Luciferian agenda deceives through the political and religious spirit who falsely unite our children to a cause, nation, king, messiah, guru, party, tribe, ideology, or theology. It's all about bringing people to we agree together. Of one mind, but the one mind is a lie and not the truth. The Luciferian agenda has controlled the financial systems in modern times through the Talmudic Zionists that support and controls political and media systems. These systems have controlled the narratives through division, competition, conflict and tribalism to create the conditions and environments that will make people more susceptible to an earthly political and religious counterfeit savior or messiah figure. Luciferian agenda is narcissistic, and that requires no real relationship, as it is selfish and is only about ego, me, myself, I, at its core. Son, the light of love and truth will begin to shine brightly through the ascended sons who reveal love's agenda to awaken our children to who we truly are and reveal their identity, which will free them from the deception and delusion of independence. An awakening to unconditional love, limitless grace, and triumphant mercy will overcome the darkness of lost identity by raising consciousness levels of enlightenment to a realization of inclusion, reconciliation, and restored union. And this is progressive. In that, I started off engaging unconditional love for probably 4 or 5 years, continually engaging unconditional love, unconditional love, unconditional love. That impacted me and totally transformed my understanding of God and the whole nature of salvation and everything else. And then I began to engage limitless grace. Because with unconditional love, what is the power that unconditional love outworks through? Limitless grace. There's no limits to grace. There is no boundaries that grace can't cross. It says where sin abounds, grace more abounds. And then that became a theme, particularly for last year. And then this year, it's been triumphant mercy. And those things have taken me deeper into the realization of inclusion and reconciliation and restored union. And they've opened up my heart to go deeper with God and to experience more of what that actually means to be at rest in Him. So I always focus on revealing the truth, and the lies inevitably will be exposed by the purity of love's light that has a frequency that will resonate deep within the hearts of our children. The children of God, people who do not yet know Him, who are living in deception, still have something deep in them that is triggered when they come across the genuine frequency of love. We need to ensure that that triggering takes place by releasing that love. The memory of eternity and union will resonate with the frequency of love's truth, which is the purest of light and sound. No deception can remain in pure light, and the consuming fire of our loving kindness will refine and purify until no lies remain. Son, we are pure light, pure love, pure fire. So live loved, live loving, at rest, within I am that I am, and just be immersed in unconditional love, limitless grace, and triumphant mercy. And that is where I believe God wants us to be, where we are at rest, not striving, not seeking to perform, to earn God's favor and blessing, not seeking to be pleasing to God because we think we're not pleasing to God. We're trying by our own efforts, trying to be obedient to what we think are laws, and there are no laws, just grace. There are things that will activate grace, of course, but there are no laws. And what is the one thing that Jesus summed it all up? A new commandment I give unto you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you could say that commandment is be loved so you can love. Now that is not a law that you have to try and outwork, because you will fail. I failed trying to do that in my own strength. It is impossible to do anything in your own strength from that understanding of that knowledge of independence, because all it does, it has no power within itself and is an enslavement. So let's enter into a short, again, time of activation where we can just enter into that place of rest. So I encourage you to just close your eyes and just begin to come to a place of rest. Just focus on the sound. Focus your thoughts on love. Focus your thoughts on God who is love. And then begin to slowly breathe. Breathe in and breathe out slowly. And as you're breathing in love. And that frequency of love is all around you, cocooning you. Feel love. Feel the unconditional love. Let it penetrate. And be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am love. Be still, be still, be still, and know that I am love. Be still and know that I am joy. Be still and know that I am joy. Be still and know that I am joy. Be still and know that I am peace. Be still and know that I am peace. Be still and know that I am peace. Be still and know that I am truth. Be still and know that I am truth. Be still and know that I am truth. Rest in limitless grace, triumphant mercy, an overwhelming love, and invite that love, joy, and peace to fill you. Place of rest, safe and secure in the arms of love. You're seated in the realms of heaven. Heaven is open. Set your desires upon engaging the Father's heart, engaging the realm of light, so you can experience the power of love, of limitless grace, an overwhelming, triumphant mercy. And I encourage you just to ask the Father to reveal anything, guilt, shame, condemnation, memories of the past, trauma, fragmentation, brokenness that you might still have within, any lies you're believing, any areas where you're enslaved to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where you're operating in independence, where you're still performance orientated. Trying to perform for others or perform for God, trying to please Him, trying to be obedient and weary and heavy laden. And now come to Him and find rest. Let mercy triumph over all guilt, all shame, all condemnation. Let limitless grace free you from any independent, orientated performance life. And rest in love, joy, and peace. Rest. Be free from independence. Surrender again to that place of resting in Him, in His love. Experience that grace, mercy, and love. Triumphant. Over everything that hinders and separates and divides and keep you from intimacy. Just let Him wash you with waves and waves and waves of triumphant mercy. This would be a new beginning, free from religious oriented lifestyle of performance, driven, striving. Rest and receive His acceptance, His affirmation, His approval, and be filled with love.